Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors Studio live today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. And we bring in Shikalimi's own. You know him as Kerry. We know him here as John Stroh from WHVL. John, welcome. It's great to have you with us on board today.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here again.
The Eagles and Steelers play their preseason opener on Thursday night. Is there anything that you would like to tell us from a WHVL perspective?
Absolutely. The Eagles have landed, and they have landed on WHVL. So we will be presenting the Eagles broadcast of that fine tilt on Thursday night at 7:30. We're very excited about it. Really exciting. It's another great property for us to add.
Not only that, but that's not the only game you're carrying.
That is not the only game we're carrying. We're also carrying the August 24th game against the Cleveland Browns and the August 30th game against the New York Jets, which should garner some excitement. You know, everyone loves Tebow. Sort of.
I'm not so sure Mark Sanchez is completely enamored.
Neither is Boomer Esiason.
Boomer, not exactly on the same Jets page.
You know, Tebow might run some sprints afterwards with his shirt off.
Right. What, you know, along the way, too, how much more is there to this particular TV package?
It's a great package for us, Steve. You know, it's the three games in addition to that. And then we will also be doing each Sunday throughout the NFL season for 17 weeks, a two-hour exclusive block of Eagles programming that comes straight from the team. I mean, this is great. You know, this is great stuff. You know, we've all seen the on ESPN, the Edge NFL matchup type. There, one of the shows is exactly that. It's called Eagles Matchup. They're still working on a host for that show yet. It was between Jaws and at one point Sal Palantonio. They were looking at for the host. As of last week, they still hadn't ironed that out. But you know, I mean, it's the Telestrators out. It's this is how the Eagles win, you know, type of show, and it's going to get down and dirty, X's and O's. It's going to be great.
That sounds like a terrific show. And that's 2 hours every Sunday.
Yeah. Now that's just one program out of the block.
What else is in the block?
There are three other programs. There's Eagles Green Zone, Eagles Green Zone Inside the Season, which is a behind the scenes look at the 2012 Eagles. Both of those are great programs. The Inside the Season, they're going to mic up their players each week. A lot of the players each week. And that's going to be really some great stuff. You know, if you're an Eagles fan, if you're an NFL fan and you want to get behind the scenes of what's going on during the game, that's, you know, inside the team, the 2012 Eagles is going to be a really great chance to do that. And you know, give you more of that NFL films, NFL network type of feel, you know, behind the scenes in the huddle, what they're saying on the sideline type of thing.
And then there's a third component.
There is a third component, which I'm struggling with at the moment. We've been working this morning trying to get formats in and things for this. You know, I mean, it's been a rough week for the organization. Mm-hmm. You know, as a whole, the organization.
Sure, they've gone through. I mean, today's the funeral.
Exactly, and you know they've had. You know, they're still trying to get their stuff done, and we're still trying to. You know, we have to enforce some blackouts a little bit. We have a little bit of blackout that we have to do, and we're trying to get that in order and get formats and things like that. And there is one program left that escapes my mind at the moment. I will try to think of it.
That's okay. I wouldn't worry about it too much. You also continue with your 48-game package of the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
You've had great response to that, haven't you?
Absolutely, we have. We've had a great response. And we've been getting some pretty good responses now with the Eagles too. But yeah, the Phillies, you know, even with the Phillies struggling, we've gotten a very strong, positive response to that program.
The next part is that when it comes to Penn State football, you'll still have the Blue-White Tailgate Show.
Blue-White Tailgate Show starting in a few weeks here. We were just talking about it this morning, weren't we?
Yeah. So there's Penn State football coverage, Eagles coverage, Phillies coverage.
Exactly. Big East football coverage, Big East basketball, and we're going to add Big 12 basketball this winter to pick up some West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia. It's where does the – let's face it, when a station makes a commitment like this to a particular area, like a section of programming, what is it about sports where people sat down and said, yes, we should be doing this?
Well, I think when you look at the Eagles particularly, I think for us, one of the overall generally looking at what we're doing from a Phillies perspective, from an Eagles perspective, there are a ton of interest in the Phillies, particularly in this area, mm-hmm. and there's interest in the Eagles. We know they're out there, and with all the kids that come here from Philadelphia, It seems to be a natural with us. And with the NFL programming, we know that the NFL programming, and you know this too, plays so well across the board. Not only does it attract men, which you figure, but it also attracts a ton of female viewers. It's, the NFL is so popular with women now.
Well, that's the other part. When people look at, for example, what's a great success for Penn State football, you get guys and you get college students and so forth, but it's the number of women that you see in the parking lot. What makes a difference in a rating or in attendance is how you can grab the casual fan. If you grab the casual fan, and in this case a lot of women, you really then make a difference in a rating or in an attendance. And football seems to have the ability to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does. It really does. And that's the thing. I mean, with the NFL pool with women is tremendous. It's probably the number one sport among female
right.
television viewers.
Right. No question about it. And not only that, but we see that in the parking lot here.
We do. We see it play out all over the place here. Absolutely.
When it comes to Penn State football coverage, blue-white tailgate, what are some of the plans that you have in mind for this upcoming season at WHVL?
We've got a lot of things that we're working on. We'll be back. It'll be yourself and Phil and Dr. Phil, as I like to call him. We're going to look at the recruiting things. I want to do a lot more feature stuff. We've talked about some sit-down interviews with players and getting back to that aspect of it and really telling the stories and getting to know these guys. Those are things that I'd like to see us do. I want to tell those stories, those behind-the-scenes stories, and kind of bring people into the program as close as we can. Those mm-hmm. great things. You've seen us do before. We had the one year we helped practically load the van to get ready for a road trip.
Right.
And I think that's the kind of stuff what's it take to get this team ready to go on the road? What's it take to get them ready to play a game, to play a home game? And, telling those old stories about things like Old Coley and things of that nature.
Yeah, I'm really glad, by the way, that the Spikes were not called the Coleys. I'd hate to go out there and see a running out there as a mascot every night. Just a thought. Just grateful for small things.
It's the little things, Steve.
Yeah. What has made it gratifying for you? Because you worked for many years in Pittsburgh, but mm-hmm. to be in this market and what you've had to cover, what's been gratifying about it?
I think one of the things that's gratifying, when you knock a deal, but when you make a deal and get a piece of programming like this, it's extremely rewarding because you work so hard for it. We started off with the idea will the Eagles want to do this? Is this something the Eagles are going to want to do? And then, when you get the excitement from the Eagles, you get the interest back from them. And we started, our original pitch to the Eagles was, hey, look, this year we want to just, we want to start a relationship with you. We'll just do the four magazine shows. And I remember the name. The last one's Eagles Unscripted.
Right.
It just came to me.
Yes, a little bird.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So when you do it, and you get that reaction from them, and they're excited to open up a new territory, to try to create new fans, new viewers for their programming. And like I said, we approached it from a standpoint of just doing the four magazine shows. And they're like, let's do the games too. Let's do the whole thing. When the Eagles come back to you and say, now, we're going to make a deal that works for you, and you guys are going to do everything this year. You know, and you get that excitement. Did they want to make that deal just as bad as you do and bring it, and it all comes together? It's extremely rewarding, and this deal has been very rewarding personally for me. I've taken a lot of this one's made me smile.
Yeah. No, I know. You've been excited about it for 2 months. You just haven't been able to announce it until now. You went to Eagles camp.
Yes.
You ran into Brett Brackett. You ran into Ali Agbu. And give us an idea, A, of how they're doing and what you thought.
Well, you know, the Eagles actually traded for Ali. So I'm thinking that there's a good chance for Ali Agbu to make that team. The one I'm really excited about, and I know Brian and I talked about too, is I really think Brett's going to make that team. I strongly believe that Brett Brackett is going to make that team. I've been to camp twice. Was down last Wednesday. Was down Sunday. Brett is running an awful lot with the number ones, number ones on offense. He is on the number one special teams unit. He is running a lot of stuff. I know that they like him. One comment that I did hear is that they want him to get bigger.
Well, yeah,
want him to get bigger.
Well, he's not a prototype tight end. He probably needs another 15, 20 pounds on him.
That is exactly what we heard in camp, that he needs another 20 pounds. But my thought would be that, you know, I think he's one of those tight ends that's going to give somebody matchup issues.
Right.
I think, you know, because he's tall, think he can get downfield. It seems like he's, you know, in that, maybe a little bit in that Patriots tight end mold.
Sure.
He just needs to get a little bit.
Yeah, but again, but he's not as big as Gronkowski, and he's not as big as Aaron Hernandez.
Exactly. That is exactly.
You're talking about special size, speed, and skills with those guys. Brackett's converted wideout, so you know he can handle the catching part.
Exactly.
He was the guy that they put in the slot on the wing when they went short yardage. So he does have skills to block. He just doesn't have the size.
Exactly. Yeah, and that was one of the comments that we heard, that, you know, that we've seen some of the bigger defensive linemen and stuff kind of, you know, they got the best of him, but the Eagles do really like him.
Yeah,
it's exciting. It's exciting that they like him. You know, and Brett's a great kid. Yeah. You know, it's kind of cool when you one of the great things was when we went down to see them, and we interviewed them. It's really great when they remember you. You know, and I think that's, you know, it's really nice for us when you strike up some sort of a relationship where when you walk up to these guys or the PR guy walks up and says, hey, these guys want to talk to you. And they're like, hey,
right?
You know what I mean? Hey, I remember you. You know,
sure, exactly.
It's a great thing.
No, because you've done a lot of one-on-ones.
We have
over the years after the press conference in the stadium.
Absolutely.
So they end up remembering it.
Exactly.
But that,
and I think they're actually happy to see us. They're like, hey, you know.
Well, it's old home week, for goodness sakes.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I felt that way at the Letterman's tent the other night.
Yeah.
One after another, just coming. Hey, how you doing? You know, it's like, you know. Guys I hadn't seen for a long time, guys I didn't really know, but, you know.
Yeah. So. Brett's cautiously optimistic.
You know what? It's hard, though.
It is.
You know, unless you're an established star.
Optimistic that he's going to make it. And, like, he was kind of talking to us and saying, oh, you know, it's kind of a numbers thing. And
well, sure, it's all numbers, I mean, for them. But a guy like Brackett that you can play a tight end that you can then split out.
Yeah.
All right, you can split out and all of a sudden get yourself, because it's all about matchups. If you can match him up on somebody that is not a comfortable matchup for, quote, them, but he'll create a matchup problem if he can put some, it's impossible, by the way, to put weight on a training camp.
Exactly.
It's impossible. I mean, these guys, I'll give you Penn State. Every Penn State practice, they weigh in before practice. At the end of practice, they have to weigh in again. You cannot lose 4% of your body weight. If you do lose 4%, they shut you down.
Well, I noticed that the other day, that they were weighing in after the first practice.
John, thanks so much. John Stroh, knows some of you in the area, is Kerry Stroh. Big doings for them with the Eagles. We'll come back to get your calls rolling at 1-800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy, with a great rate of return. In fact, An investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Time now for another scintillating Olympic update.
Oh, you're waiting for me to do it.
Might as well, since you're completely immersed in it.
Well, I made a mistake earlier. I said that the women's beach volleyball gold medal game was tomorrow. It's actually going on right now. May Trainor, Walsh Jennings taking the first set, all tied in the second set right now.
And Allison Felix today won the gold medal in the 200 meters. And fellow American Carmelita Jetter won the bronze. So first and third in the 200 for the United States today in women's track. Also today, Italy beat the United States men's volleyball team in three straight. The United States men will not medal. Baseball. Red Sox and Rangers, 9-9 at Fenway in the top of the eighth. That's a Fenway special. Oakland leads the Angels 2-1. That's in the bottom of the second inning. Cleveland beat Minnesota 6-2. And the National League, Cincinnati leads at Milwaukee 2-1 in the top half of the eighth inning at Miller Park.
Well, you missed one at the Olympics. U.S. out of the men's water polo medal round. Croatia knocked them out 8-2 today in the quarters.
It's a shame. All right, so well, I've enjoyed what I've seen at the Olympics. I just haven't seen much of it. That's
well,
all.
Well, I think the when I had said about beach volleyball, I think I was thinking of the soccer. I think it's soccer that the gold medal match is tomorrow against Japan.
It's okay. You're allowed to make a mistake.
Well, and you know, I admittedly am not a huge soccer fan, but I'll tell you what, watching that U.S.-Canada match, that was actually an entertaining soccer game to watch. I mean, what was that, 123rd minute, and they finally got the game-winning score. That was an entertaining match to watch.
Yes. Why? There were seven goals.
That's exactly right. You're absolutely right. There were actually goals being scored. I totally agree. That's why I like it.
Again, we're a country that, for the most part, look, we appreciate every once in a while, all right, a well-pitched game, a defensive struggle, and so forth. Now, because a game's a game. So every once in a while, we love that. But on a daily grind basis, we don't like, as sports fans for the most part, on a daily basis, another 1-0 game. Oh, you know, the Steelers won today 6-3 over the Ravens. Or, what was it? Is that the Seattle-Cleveland game that was 6-3 last year in the NFL? Something like that.
I think it was that, yeah.
Yeah. That was played at Cleveland. How many 1-0 games do you want to see in the National Hockey League? How many games in the NBA do you want to see where they're grinding it out and suddenly there's 2 minutes to go and the game is in the 60s? The number of basketball, the Illinois-Penn State basketball game I did that was 38-33. The Wisconsin basketball game I did where Penn State won at 36-33. Those happening once in a while, intriguing, fine, and so forth. Okay. But on a daily basis, could you watch that every day? No.
No.
And the same story, I did that Penn State-Iowa game a few years ago that back in 2004 where Iowa won 6-4. Well, if you have a lot of games like that, people are not, that's not what people want to see. And seeing it once in a while is fine. And that's soccer's problem. There are too many nothing, nothing, one nothing games. There's too many of them. I mean, I'm talking for American tastes. You know, every country has their own as to what they love. But that's why when I have talked about, for example, baseball and about the DH as an example, I'm looking to put more offense into the game. Because there are no rule changes put in that help the defense in any sport. I mean, name a rule change that helps the defense.
That's what I was just sitting here thinking. I'm like, hard to believe, but I can't really think of anything right now.
No. I mean, there isn't. I mean, even that little semicircle they put in the lane for the NBA, which has now been copied in a smaller version by college basketball. I mean, that's designed to help the offense. I mean, guy gets a heel in that semicircle, it's points.
What about in hockey where they protected the goalie a little more? I mean, you could probably say that was a little defensive move there.
No. I mean, what, in the trapezoid?
In the little zone there.
Yeah, but guess what? He can't stray out of there and make a play.
Well, yeah, so that's the balance. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, everything is designed to be the two-line pass because people want to see opportunities, chances to score.
Well, and as much as we talk about it, I mean, we've talked about volleyball and beach volleyball with the rally scoring because it took so long to play those games.
Right.
Now there's a point on every play.
Exactly. And people like to see two things. They like to see something where there's action and action equates to points. And they like to see games with stakes. That's why they love the Olympics, because they can root for their country and there's something at stake. It's a perfect combination. That's why NBC pays billions in rights fees to cover it. And that's something that, when you look at the Penn State situation, you know, people are talking what kind of record and so forth this year. But Penn State's in a position for the next 4 years where they play the role of spoiler. I walked by a magazine rack today, top 25, and I thought to myself, wow, kind of hit me.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That was an interesting soundbite during Sarah Bartlett's news.
Let me see if I can dig that up again. Hang on a second.
Yeah, dig that up again, because I don't think we should air things that are inaccurate.
Wow, I can't say anything because I was inaccurate earlier today.
Well, I mean, he can have an opinion as to how announcers should go about their business. Of course, it would probably help if he ever did the job.
All right, let's see what we have here.
He's talking about what the homerism by NBC okay, sports broadcast.
I think it's this one here. Let me see if I have the right one here.
The fact is that journalism should be more neutral on this. I mean, ask yourself, if let's say that $2.2 billion NBC paid, what if Al Jazeera paid $2.4 billion and got the game? We'd be a little bit upset with them if they wanted to, like, feature Arab League first.
Number one, every country can broadcast the Olympics. The broadcast is done in many languages. It turns out that NBC has the United States rights. Okay, I don't know who has the British rights, who has the French rights, who has Spain's rights, but each country has, so they're getting money. It's just the $2.4 billion paid by NBC is larger than anybody else because the audience here is larger than anybody else.
Yeah, they paid for the U.S. rights.
The United States rights only. Okay, so if Al Jazeera is broadcasting the Olympics, it's because they paid the rights for it to broadcast it for Arab-speaking countries. So all the rights fees are separate. So NBC's $2.4 billion rights fee is to broadcast to the United States and not to any other part of the world. Right? That's one. Hey, there are many different broadcasters from all over the place. Number two, Jeff Lowe was on our show last week. He said one of the things that's interesting about the, quote, foreign press is how much they cheer for their athletes. He says it's really different compared to being in the American media contingent. And you have to look at how they broadcast the Olympics. I can relate. I broadcast for teams. Do I get more excited when Penn State does something right? Yeah, because guess what? The people listening to our broadcast are Penn State people.
You're tailoring the broadcast to your listener.
Right. The people I'm broadcasting basketball to are Penn State people. And when I do baseball, it's State College Spikes Baseball. Now, do I do a different job when I broadcast on the Big Ten Network? Yes. At that point, my job on the Big Ten Network, okay, first of all, one of the things that's important to do when you are broadcasting, even for a team, is to make sure you are fully prepared of the team they're facing, and also to make sure that when the team they're facing does something right, that you talk about why they did it right. Okay? So that's where fairness and neutrality does come in, where you're trying to give the fan an accurate read on what's going on. But when something exciting happens for the team you're broadcasting for, especially in their stadium, incredible. I mean, I thought Ted Robinson and John McEnroe captured the moment of Great Britain's Andy Murray over Switzerland's Roger Federer.
Great job. That was a great one.
Right. That was Absolutely. Not the United States, but they did it in an electric way because it was an electric moment. You have to understand the moment and translate the moment to the broadcast. When I do the Big Ten Network, okay, it's total neutrality. I don't care. And I've done a Michigan-Illinois matchup in wrestling. I've done a Michigan-Indiana matchup in field hockey. And then I've done a bunch of other matchups. I've been Penn State against whomever the Big Ten. And again, it's neutral down because I know that half the audience I'm broadcasting to is Penn State, half the audience I'm broadcasting to is Michigan. Or half the audience I'm broadcasting to is Indiana, and half the broadcast is to Illinois. That's how I treat it when that's that moment. When I'm broadcasting Penn State football, even though we're on Sirius XM and we're carried in six different states, and sure, there might be fans listening to us that are, quote, with the team Penn State's facing, we know the vast majority of 90% plus of those listening to the broadcast, whether it's in the stadium, on Sirius XM, on WKOK, or wherever in the network, are Penn State fans. Well, NBC knows that they have the United States rights, and thus they are broadcasting to Americans. They aren't broadcasting to the Arab world.
And the All-American Beach Volleyball match is a final now. 21-16, both sets, Trainer and Walsh Jennings.
So, yes, but there are separate rights for each country around the world, so sorry.
I will say this. If it were the case that it were one particular broadcast network doing all of it, then I would agree with that statement. You would have to be a little more neutral, but that's not the case here.
Yeah, you'd have to be, but then again, it would be impossible to do it.
That's true.
Okay, It's impossible linguistically.
I didn't think about it that way, but all right.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, a lot of people very confused saying, I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what he's saying. So,
trying to find out how many countries are broadcasting the Olympics.
I think it's at least 50.
I was going to say, I know for certain there are about 10 because I saw on a piece that NBC did with the International Broadcast Center.
Right.
Some of those rooms are like closets that they're broadcasting from too.
Well, there's obviously China, Japanese rights.
Yep.
Russia.
Australia.
Great Britain, Australia, France, Spain, Italy.
Okay, here's the list. Oh, my goodness. Albania, Algeria, Angola, Argentina, Australia, Austria, I mean, I can't. Oh, the list just. Those are only
in the A's.
That's exactly right.
Right. See, and that's, you know, again, they're broadcasting to an American audience. Now, they've done a good job of building up the American effort and having people understand who they're watching and rooting for. At the same time, let's take Usain Bolt. They consider Usain Bolt to be a star in the in this Olympic Games, just as he was in Beijing in 2008. They've made a big deal out of him. He's from Jamaica. Okay? The moment between, in the 400, between the South African, who,
Pastora?
Yeah. And was it, Green, I want to say?
From, yeah, I know who you're, when they exchanged.
From Grenada?
When they
from
exchanged.
When they exchanged bibs.
Yeah.
Those aren't Americans. It was a great moment that they covered with passion and diligence. I mean, I'm talking about, these are all moments, you know, the crying of the Russians and their win in gymnastics when she captured the gold medal. I mean, there have been a lot of things that they've shown, and the Murray Federer deal, there's no American there. Serena Williams won on the women's side, but the Murray Federer thing, you know, and people in the United States who follow tennis, they know exactly who Federer and Murray are. Federer is one of the five greatest players in the history of the game. You know, you could throw Federer's name out there now with the likes of Rod Laver and Don Budge and, yeah.
Well, you know, I am not an NBC defender in their coverage of the Olympics and the way they're doing some things, but I will say one thing. With this new format being available on the web, you're seeing more international events or more international matchups than you ever have. I mean, you could sit there and watch, and I'm just pulling two teams, China and Australia play in men's water polo on the web. You're not going to see it in prime time because there's not a market for it.
But there's no, you know, I mean, I'm glad they're doing it.
Right.
I think that's super. But I, like I told you the other day, I watched Russia and Italy play volleyball for about 3 minutes, and I was like, I can't watch this.
But the webcast,
because I have no rooting interest in it.
But the webcast is where it goes.
See, this is what it comes down to. The key, as I was talking, when John Stroh was on the show, what did I talk about? I talked about one of the keys to having a large attendance or a large TV rating is getting the casual fan hooked. Okay, the fan is hooked all the time, okay? But when you get the casual fan hooked, suddenly the ratings go up or the attendance goes up. Now, I'm a fan, and it was women's volleyball. I watched every point of the United States in their victory over Turkey, right? Turkey gave them all they can handle, but I watched every point. The next match was Russia-Italy. No interest. Three minutes, turned it off, moved on.
Pew Research Center.
Usain,
oh, go ahead.
I mean, Usain Bolt's going to run the 200? I'll watch.
Absolutely.
I'll watch 100-meter dash. I watched.
But that's a name you know, too.
Right, but Jamaicans went 1-2, including the kid that beat him in the Jamaican Olympic trials. They went 1-2. Fine. Watch the 1,500 meters the other night. I mean, certain things I'll watch along the way.
But listen to these numbers from the Pew Research Center. 76% of Olympic fans say NBC is doing an excellent job. 29%. 47 say they're doing a good job. Just 18% say it's fair or below. Overall, 78% of Americans have followed the Olympics online, on TV, or via social media. That is amazing. Exactly. And television is still the big way to get it. 73% say they've watched coverage there. 17 say they've watched digitally. 12% say they watched. They follow games with Facebook, Twitter, and other things like that.
But again, okay, NBC should show every event live.
Every event should be live. Now, they should also have the repackaging show at night. Because the number of people that can actually watch the events live is not a huge number. Because, look at our situation here. Okay? People just getting out of work now, driving home. Okay? People maybe having to run to Little League. People having to maybe run to midget football. Or having to get their son or daughter to a practice coming up. Because next week, all the high school practices and every sport start. They may have to run them back and forth. Right? And because of jobs, schedules, and so forth, people on vacation this time of the year, give them the option to do so people can watch it live. More people are still going to watch the repackaged at night because that's when they have time to. Because all of us results when we watch this at night, it live, and then and then watching it again, not going to affect the rate. I won't be able to watch it.
I'll tell you everything that happens. You'll be all right. You know what? Right now, 1-800-795-95. I'd like the numbers nationally.
Whatever I've had a chance. I just went through a streak of doing 26 consecutive state college spikes baseball games. Some of them have been on the road. People have listened to the Pennsylvania Connect. Right. Chance to watch the Olympics. And I think their coverage has been outstanding. They should put out themselves and how they pack a great audience. Because I think they would still get a great audience. I mean, I don't get a chance to watch it during the day. That's why I watch the repackaged programming at night. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And we'll go to Dell. Dell, thanks a lot for waiting. Great to have you on the show.
Hello.
How are you, Dell?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to respond to Kevin's question about have I watched any Olympics on television. And I just want to say, yeah, I have.
A lot or a little? What would you say?
Well, I wouldn't say a lot, but I have some.
All right.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah. I think they did a fine job.
Good. Appreciate the input, Dell. All right, let's go to Kathy next at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Kath.
Hi. And, yes, I've watched every chance I could get, and every evening that's the only show that I have on is the Olympics. In fact, not just myself, but other people that I work with. I think we're all suffering from sleep deprivation because we stay up until after midnight.
I really feel for you because I'm in the same boat. I don't go to bed till 12:30 at the earliest now.
I know, and quarter of five thirty is like, oh no, I gotta get up.
See, next in 4 years for the Summer Games, the Winter Games isn't so bad for me, but the Summer Games, I'm gonna have to take vacation for those 2 weeks. That's the only thing that's gonna work.
Right, and I actually think NBC's doing a good job, and I think Dr. Brash is usually pretty good about a lot of things, but I think he missed the mark on his observation of the focus of the broadcast. What else would they be focusing on other than the American athletes? That's definitely what it should be about for us in the United States. Come on.
Well, exactly. It would be like me doing the Penn State broadcast and spending the entire pregame show talking about Ohio State.
Or anybody else. Right. And, we're a melting pot in this country. So there's people of all ethnic variety who are athletes for the United States. The whole idea is it's the United States athlete that we want to know about.
Exactly. Exactly, but there are certain athletes that cross over. They capture our imagination. Usain Bolt's one of them. Which sports, have you watched that you really, I couldn't wait for that sport to be on? Which one would that be?
I actually loved the volleyball. I enjoyed that. And I did like the floor exercises for the gymnastics, both men and women. Right. There wasn't any that I didn't care for, except there was one I was confused about. there was one that was advertised as, on the channel as women's water polo, but it yes. wasn't in the water, and they were playing a game that looked like a combination of field hockey, soccer, and basketball all at the same time.
That sounds like handball.
I was wondering if it was handball.
Yeah, my husband said, "Oh, that's handball." And I said, "Well, where are the walls?" I had never witnessed it. I watched the sport; yeah. It was interesting, but I was confused.
You know, yeah, that was the first
team handball.
Yeah, this was the first time I've actually watched team handball. It's been an Olympic sport for a while, and I never got a chance to see it. And I have to admit, I made fun of it earlier before the Olympics started, but I'll actually sit and watch that. That's actually not bad. There's a lot of action there.
Right, and there's a lot of talent. It's like soccer, but mm-hmm. To throw the ball, they can pick it up and throw it. Which is it's interesting. Also, there's a lot of physical contact.
Yeah,
I was actually fascinated. It's interesting. I would watch it again. I would definitely watch that again.
My question is, did you catch any badminton?
I didn't. I only saw a little bit of it, and I think it's ironic that those people were booted out. They just weren't smart enough to hide the slowdown.
How do you cheat at badminton?
Yeah, exactly. they were saving themselves for the main event, but they did it in a not so smart way and ended up not winning anything.
Yeah, they ended up watching the main event on TV. Kathy, thank you so much. We have to take a break here. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There has never been a better time to buy a new vehicle at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln.
Why?
Because we had a record month in July. And here's why we sold more of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America.
Selection.
You want them, we got them.
Looking for savings?
How about saving at the pump? Hyundai has the most cars getting over 40 mpg.
Worried about financing?
With rates as low as 0%, you save big time.
And you want price?
Well, hold on to your hat. How about the 2012 Elantra, the North American Car of the Year, marked down to $18,985. Or the Red Hot 2012 Sonata, lowered to $19,996. Or maybe the sleek, sporty Veloster, also under $20,000. And don't forget the full line of Lincolns, with discounts as high as $6,500. And with an additional set of tires with any new vehicle, we're making American luxury affordable. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Final 90 seconds of the show. And the Olympics already, the Americans do win gold today in the 200 meters. Felix won it. Jetter took the bronze. Men's volleyball team knocked out in the quarterfinals. They will not medal. American gold and silver today in beach volleyball. Tomorrow on the show, we will have plenty of Penn State football news. Tomorrow's media day, we'll have complete coverage of it for the 2 hours here on the show. We sincerely hope you look forward to that. It's the kind of access that we always want to bring you on the show, so we want to make sure that you feel like you're a part of what's going on and give you as much as possible to digest. And it's not just going to be about, quote, the situation. It's going to be about football and moving forward, covering it like a normal media day, even though it is abnormal situation.